Well, good day, everyone. Welcome to the LifeInvestigated.com podcast today on the 22nd of June, 2024. The title of the podcast today is Dress Codes. Are they relevant in 2024 in church and business? So this is one of those 3 o'clock in the morning pet peeves that I woke up this morning. You say, Patriot Training, where do you get some of these odd subject matters from? It's it's just the way my brain works, I suppose, or fails to work one way or the other, however you'd like to look at it. So woke up this morning, like I said, early in the morning, thinking this was on my mind, on how relaxed or how many standards that we have allowed societal-wise to go by the wayside here in the last 10 years especially, but it's been brewing longer than that. So part of the work I do, contractual work I do, I do interviews and background work on applicants. And one thing that's become more and more obvious to me as from this standpoint as an investigator and a business person is business etiquette, and i.e. meaning dress and demeanor when you come in for an interview, or especially when you're coming in for a background interview with someone who is going to have at least the first say-so on whether you are accepted into the corporation or not. Some of the lax dress codes and demeanors. I'm going to address demeanor in this also because I believe demeanor and dress code kind of go hand in hand, that I see, and just total disconcern for what might be proper attire and proper demeanor for applying for a job. But I've added in this addition because, as some of you know, before retiring from the ministry, spent 26 years as a pastor. And I noticed how standards seem to decline over the years. Now, when it comes to our worship worship is before our God. It's not about clothing, okay? But if you are a believer in your own Bible that you would read, you would see that God himself outlined societal norms and what was accepted as a society throughout the Bible, both Old and New Covenants, but in particular, you could see it very well outlined in the Old Covenant. And then when you come into the New Covenant, you start to see things like modesty and not trying to stand out, but to be acceptable in your behavior, not only in church situations, but in societal situations also. So I wanted to address that this morning. And I think a lot of businesses, because their recruiting efforts are so hard now, because as a society, we have relaxed our standards so much as far as the expectation of people going out and working and making their own living. Of course, that hasn't just started in the last three or four years, although it has greatly increased in the last 3 or 4 years. The society's dependence upon the United States government, and well, it looks to me like the world's dependence on the United States government, but it nevertheless is greatly increased in the last 3 to 4 years. But this is something that's been going on since, the development of the public welfare system many, many, many years ago, and it has greatly progressed to the point. Now we have a whole segment of society that, in talking and interviewing people, because that's what I do, even if I'm not interviewing someone for a job position or for a background reveal, I'm still interviewing people and I'm talking to people and getting people's opinions and what they think is going on in their lives or where they think their life should be or what their aspirations are in life. I've done that for many years now. And here's what I found out. You have a segment of society out here in the United States of America that their aspirations are twofold: to get on disability and to get welfare. I'm not making this up. I've interviewed people over the years, and it's become more and more prevalent, much more prevalent in the last 15 years, that their whole goal in life is to get on disability as soon as they can and get their social services, get your welfare, and any other public programs that you can find that's government paid for and sponsored, that all you have to do is either sit on your backside in your slothfulness, or most of the time, not everybody, but a lot of people that I have found that is really their truest aspirations. They truthfully are nasty. They stink. They don't take baths. They don't take proper care of themselves. They don't get exercise. They don't eat right. They're just sloths. But that kind of mentality breeds that, right? And it shows exterior wise. It certainly shows, irregardless of what the man's heart might be, it certainly shows on the outward appearance of a man. And although many churches have even, and businesses both, but churches are more guilty for this, of emphasizing it doesn't matter what the outward man looks like and how he presents himself. They've done this in a hyper grace style of preaching and ministry. But I'm a firm believer that it does mean something to God, and I believe it does mean something to society also. Although if a man's heart is converted, a man's heart's converted. So I'm not going to get deep into theology, because this is as much to do with the business side as it is the theological side, okay? So why do we need a dress code? And why do we need acceptable standards? Now, again, we may not necessarily need to revert back to 1950, but maybe some of our traditions were not all that bad after all, when we look and see what society has become. You know, when we allow, as a society, when we're just generally so acceptable of anybody or anything that presents itself in front of us, that we never question, is this a good thing? And why does this person feel like they can behave this way in society or look this way in society? Because the way you look in society in the general public is the way you behave also most of the time. So have we become so inclusive in our desire to just welcome people and to get people in business or to get people in the church that we just throw all standards to the side? Now, there are some churches that still enforce, or when I say enforce, they make it known what their expectations are from their membership. And I think that's where the churches failed. They failed to make known what the corporate body of the church, what its expectations are. Now, I'm not saying that church's expectations are holy or righteous, either one. What I'm saying, if you're going to have an organization, whether it be a business or a church, if you don't make your expectations known as the corporate body to those participating, how will they know if they're meeting par or not? And we've gotten afraid to make our expectations known, I believe, in both circumstances, by a lot of companies and churches. So why do we need? So I asked the question, are dress codes relevant in 2024? And Patriot Trainer's answer is absolutely. Absolutely. We need to present ourselves. If we're going for a job, present ourselves professionally. Now, I'm not saying for every job that you apply to that you have to go out and buy yourself, if you're a man, a new sport coat, a new tie, and a new dress shirt, and a new pair of slacks. That's not what I'm saying. One thing that I found as an interviewer that you could do, men and ladies, is the first thing you could do is get up in time for your interview to take a bath. And then after you take your bath, here's a great revelation. Brush your teeth and comb your hair also. Now, you may be in a position, you may be living paycheck to paycheck, and you just say, well, okay, dude, I don't have the money to go out and buy any new clothes. That's okay in that case. In that case, that's okay. Wash it, but at least go to the laundromat and wash and press in the dryer, if nothing else, what you're going to wear. Okay. Put some deodorant on. Do your best. That's all I'm saying is we will do our best, whatever our best is. And unless you are living on the street, you have access most likely to indoor plumbing and some toiletries. And if you don't, if you are living on the street and you're trying to get a job, there are ministries out there that do nothing but this. They get you ready for a job interview. They get you a shower. There's public showers out there in a lot of cities you can go to. Or even in some of the more rural communities, if you've got a community center or a YMCA or something like that, I bet you if you went in and told the person in charge, look, I'm homeless, but I've got a job opportunity. I need to take a bath and I need to wash my clothes. I just could almost guarantee you 100% you'll find somebody that's willing to help you do that. So don't come in. If you want a job, don't come in looking like you're living on the street, even though you may be. There's a standard to me, and you are expected to uphold the standard. So in business, why do we want a dress code? Well, number one, professionalism. Dress codes help maintain a professional atmosphere. In some industries, a standard of dress is associated with how competent or how serious you are about the job. And plus, the way you dress in your job, now I've gone past the interview, you've made it, and you're in a job now. What's the expectation? So when you dress the part for what your position is, your attitude's going to reflect in that. And people's attitude towards you is going to reflect back to you in that. Your clients' perceptions, if you're in every job's a sales job, whether you got the title salesperson or not. Every job is a sales job. And plus, if you're looking, for you rebels out there that don't like anything about a societal norm at all, sorry, we still have them. And I believe somewhere along the line, we're going to see a resurgence of that. But we do still have it, no matter how much you've tried to degrade it. And it's just an expectation of life. Plus, it builds trust to your clients and it builds trust from your coworkers. Another reason that we have dress codes in business is our brand image. Companies will have dress codes to reinforce their brand image. Uniformity, employee appearance, it reflects on the values of the company. And truthfully, it contributes to a cohesive team value. You know, so some companies today who used to may have been a coat, tie, dress shirt type of environment, and for the ladies, a dress with a certain length on your hem and stuff like that. Nowadays, those that are still conscious about their brand image may provide you with a softer look, for example, in a polo shirt with their logo on it. And that's all well and fine if that's what your company is requiring. But when the company gives you a shirt with a logo on it, what do they expect of you? They expect it to be clean. They expect it not to be wrinkled up like it's been in the floor with a dog laying on it for 6 weeks. I mean, most of you younger generation don't know how to use an iron. You've probably never seen one, but you know, your dryer can take care of what the way fabric's made today. If you'll wash your clothes, put them in the dryer, then take them out of the dryer immediately and hang them up. What few wrinkles in this new material, most of that material, the few wrinkles will come out by themselves. So your company, if they are providing you a brand logo, they expect you to come in with that brand logo looking good. But the only way their brand logo can look good on you, now I'm not talking about your physical body type or anything like that, but the only way their brand logo can look good on you is if you have taken a shower or a bath, combed your hair, brushed your teeth, and done the normal things that is acceptable to be around other people. And then your company's going to be pleased with your appearance and how you are presenting yourself, representing their company. And now some of you, especially you more liberal folks, you really should appreciate this one, equality and inclusivity. Some industries, there are dress codes that are necessary, you know, like in a construction field, and that's goes to my next point of safety and practicality too. You know, if you're out here in a construction job, you want high vis clothing, but you still have an expectation. Now I know when you've worked a while in a construction job, you're gonna get dirty. Okay, doesn't mean you have to come to work dirty. Doesn't mean you have to come to work smelly. Okay. But in that aspect, it's important if your company is providing you safety type clothing that you do what? That you have that safety clothing on when you're on the job per the policy. But dress codes kind of level a playing field. So if say you start a job and they are providing you with a polo shirt with their logo on it and everybody wears the same. So the guy working next to you, he may have $300,000 saved up in the bank, and he can go out and he can buy him every designer shirt and every new tie, new shoes and all that every day if he wanted to. You're just getting started, or you just went through a bankruptcy, a divorce, or so many crappy things can happen in life. We can't even sit and explain all the reasons we might have a financial disability for a while. And we can't go by and look the same. But if the company has a dress code and they are providing that uniform type of presence, the only way anybody would ever know the difference between you and the guy that's got $300,000 in the bank is your attitude. If you have a stinking attitude, most people are going to know, but you know. Number five, customer expectations. In customer-facing roles, how employees dress impact customer satisfaction. Now, customers, they expect when they come into a place they've done business with, especially a place they've done business with for years, they expect a certain decorum. And when you're on your own program, or you just don't care enough about yourself to A, be part of the team, and B, represent yourself as a well-rounded individual, you're going to distract from the entire theme and efforts that the company is trying to build You know, if you contribute to your company that you work for that provides you a paycheck, if you directly contribute to their sales going down by your lack of the ability to just come into a societal norm for business through your dress and your attitude and your ability to come in ready to work every day, by the way, not come in ready to go to the coffee pot, get a cup of coffee, see if anyone's brought any donuts in, and sit there and gossip for 30 minutes before you go to your workstation. If you clocked in at 8:30, you should be at your desk or your workstation or whatever. You should be working. You should get up in time before you come to work to have your coffee and your donut. And here's the other thing I've noticed A lot of people come in, bypass the coffee pot and the donuts. They go to the restroom and stay for 10 minutes. Then they come back to the coffee and the donuts. Look, unless it's just an urgent call of nature, you should have gotten up in time to have the morning constitutional effects take place for the most part. When you come to work, be prepared to go to work in your mind, in your body, in your spirit, and look the right way. Okay? A lot of jobs suck. I get it. And you got some terrible bosses out. I get it. That still shouldn't affect you as a professional in your job. You still have personal responsibility. And if your company is so bad you can't have any personal responsibility, find you another job. Find you a better boss. But don't let that person pull all of your integrity out of you. It's the wrong thing to do. Well, I'm going a little longer than I wanted to, so I'll try to hurry on through this. Why do we want to have a dress code in church in 2024? I mean, after all, half of the churches out here, their slogan is come as you are. And I've even used that slogan before. Because I always thought, well, you know, if a person is in sin and they don't know how to have a relationship with God, okay, there's some work to do. I think we all could agree on that. And sometimes the social behaviors in churches and dress codes are one of those things that you can work with people on as God works with that person, okay? But if it looks like there's nothing changing and that person's still coming to your church, they stink so bad that nobody else wants to sit beside them, you say, well, that's not love. Yeah, it is. When somebody's wrong and they're refusing correction, when you offer them your help, there's a difference between judging somebody and helping somebody. When you offer them help and guidance to try to help them navigate through the confusion of life and they refuse it, then, you know, that's on them. But when we just let them, I mean, you know, generally speaking, more so, it is a female who will come into a church who's tends to not be moderately dressed. The bigger majority of men, although they may not be dressed in their best and they can do better, and they certainly can do better with their personal grooming by far, most of the time, it's females that come into a church that are not appropriately dressed modestly, especially for new converts. But then I've noticed as the trend's gone along through the years, even people who have been in church and claim to be in a relationship with God and claim to be this, and they're even on the boards. And this, some women will come in and they look like they've just been out to the club, just came straight from the club looking for a hookup. When they come to church. Sorry, ladies. I don't care if it is 2024. I don't care if you did have a Me Too movement and a Women's Lib movement. There are certain places, you know, if you're married and you want to dress that way for your husband in your home, you two decide how that's going to be. But you're out and you're affecting everybody else now, not to count the reputation that you're bringing on yourself. And the way people perceive you. You say, I don't care how people perceive me. Yes, you do. If you did not care how people perceive you, you wouldn't even make that statement to start with. So why in churches? Well, respect and reverence. Dress codes in churches often reflect your community values and your reverence towards a sacred place. I don't care if your church is in a storefront. If it's been designed as a house of worship, that place itself should have a certain amount of reverence to it when you come to it. When you come to church and you are presenting yourself in right fashion with your dress codes and your personal demeanors, then you're showing the community that you are in unity and that you're identifying with your fellow church members, your house of worship members. I mean, you don't need to look like a cult and everybody be dressed in a white gown. That's not what I'm saying. But there will be, whether you like it or not, in your church, there will be a societal norm that's established that the church has said is acceptable, whether they have said it or not. And then that's what everybody will start looking like, to the good side or to the negative side. Pastors, if you're allowing women to come in and look like they've just come from the strip club on a continual basis and not counseling them, then guess what your men are automatically going to start doing? Well, they're going to start acting towards those women like they just come in from the strip club, and they're going to start demonstrating and have the same reactions. That, and I'm not saying that's right on the men that fought for it, but I'm telling you, you're not going to override the biological system within a man who is visually oriented to start with because of your wonderful dissertation about the Sermon on the Mount. Sorry, Bubba Pastor, it's not going to happen. We need to identify. If you're in a church, you should be identifying in unity under Christ, under your God. But we reflect that outwardly also. I know the Bible talks about how much the outward man is useless in respects, but you have to put everything into context. And the Bible tells us to do just exactly that. Number three, why do we want a dress code? And I've really just addressed it. It minimizes distractions. It keeps the environment focused on worship and your spiritual activities. That's one reason I don't believe in, and it seems like, again, I'm not trying to pick on you ladies. I promise you I'm not. But it seemed like predominant amount of time, especially in a Pentecostal or a full gospel-oriented church, your women are allowed to get up and get their little flags and dance around and shake and bob and do all kinds of stuff right in front of the altar where all the rest of the audience is sitting behind. And you're telling me that's spiritual dance and worship. When a female's up there swaying her hips to the music, which most of the time in most of your churches is more of a rock and roll style of tempo, there's nothing spiritual about that. That is not only a distraction to the males in your congregation, because your males ain't nowhere near as holy as they want to tell their wives, are you, preacher? But it's distracting the females, because now the females who have some context in their life, who have some accountability in their life, who have modesty in their life, you're distracting the females now, because now they're getting ticked off. First, they're getting ticked off at their husband for noticing. Now they're getting ticked off at you as the pastor for allowing it to happen. And then thirdly, they're ticked off at the other women for acting the way they're acting and saying it's spiritual. Church needs to clean up a little bit. Number four, again, there are some traditions in life that are just no good, especially in the church. But there are some traditions that are good. So your tradition and your continuity of how you develop and deliver your spiritual aspects of a person's life and how you train and teach them in a church is very important. That continuity is very important. And that dress code helps it. It helps it. It helps you preserve certain traditions. Now, again, there's certain traditions I see in certain churches that I would not participate in, that I don't personally have a conviction that is a necessity. But if that person has that conviction that it's a necessity, then that person is, you know, they're following their spiritual traditions in humble and humility, in an attitude that they want to worship. Now, I think some churches have gone overboard. Again, we can go overboard with anything, right? I think the one thing Jesus always taught, if you follow Jesus, is moderation. Moderation. The Apostle Paul, for those of you that like to follow Paul as almost he was Jesus, some of you do, let's be honest. He didn't always teach total abstinence from certain things, but he taught it in a moderate sense at certain times in his ministry. So kind of keep that in mind. Modesty, inclusivity, tradition, they all mean something to us. They all mean something to us in a worship situation. And certainly in the business situation too. And as I started at the beginning, yes, there's more flexibility. And I'm glad for more flexibility. There was, well, back then there wouldn't have been a podcast and a video podcast, because I do this podcast in both audio and video. So if you're watching me on the video aspect of it, I'm sitting on my porch on a Saturday, summertime. I've got a t-shirt on, and of course you can't see, but I've got shorts on that are modest shorts. If I stood up, there shouldn't be anything that would be offensive to anybody. And I'm not showing anything. It's a t-shirt, so my arms are exposed, but, you know, nothing else. So for my situation this morning, I'm dressed modest and flexible. But there might have been a time that I would have had to put a collared shirt and a tie on just to do this. So, yes, society has, it's given us some flexibility, but it doesn't give us free rein. And it doesn't negate standard responsibilities. Just doesn't. And I promise you, if I were to step in behind the pulpit again, I may not have a tie on, but most likely I would have a collared shirt or a nice polo, and a good chance I would have a sport coat on. I guarantee you, when I go to do my interviews, or I go to do anything in my investigative or training profession, because I'm a trainer also, I'm either going to have a company shirt on with a nice logo and a nice pair of casual pants, like a khaki or something. I'm going to be dressed appropriate, or I may even have a collar shirt on and a sport coat. It's important today, as it always has been. This is the Patriot Trainer. Share this with somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. Share it with as many people as you can. Like it, subscribe to all these channels, and all that fun stuff we do. I'll see you next time.